Mini episode 418 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Sports Train, the finest pure sports talk show on both terrestrial and internet radio. Follow them on the web at thesportstrain.net.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 418 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with the FDH Lounge preview of Mad Men episode 7.5, which is called The Runaways. This season we'll be listing the top five themes of the previous week's episode to examine how they're driving the characters into the end game of the series. Here's the top five themes from episode 7.4 moving into this week. Number five. If Don wasn't the one with the bratty, rebellious 60s daughter, it was going to be Roger. Matthew Weiner has indicated that he sees Sally as emblematic of focused, successful older children of dysfunctional parents, and that the notion of her as a hugely rebelling handful for Don and Betty was a cliche that he would not invoke. So who makes more sense for the role than Margaret? The only child of a rich couple who only rarely made stabs at authentic parenting. The tragedy of the 60s generation gap appeared in one painful microcosm. When Roger confronted her about abandoning her son, and she threw a slightly less literal form of abandonment back in his face. Roger has always been the epitome of the privileged, rich, white male, and his foray into occasional drug use during his midlife crisis marriage to Jane provided a segue to the current youthful orgy scene that he now inhabits. Roger Sterling is a man famously incapable of feeling the pain of others while he milks his own setbacks for maximum sympathy. As such, he would have laughed if anyone would have pointed out that the women that he was treating as mere pieces of meat were somebody's daughters. But now he's been confronted with hippie commune members using his own daughter in such a manner, and he didn't like how it felt. Will Roger draw any lessons from this experience? If so, it'll be a first for him. Number four. As the series prepares to draw to a close and leave the 60s behind, the first real taste of the age of the computer appeared. In the year following the release of the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey, and in the year that the first prototype of the internet was developed in a laboratory, Mad Men indulged in the age's taste for the futuristic with Harry Crane's new supercomputer that displaced the creative lounge. In a way, the series has always featured characters such as Don looking to the future, often with California as at least a figurative stand-in. But this episode illustrated both the promise and the potential trouble of technology, displacing some workers as it enriched others. Instruments are themselves not inherently good or evil, so the part that the computer plays in Jim Cutler's efforts to subjugate everyone in the firm to his vision will bear watching, as will the messages from the writers about how technology is used or misused. Number three, at least in the short term and at least at work, the role reversal between Don and Peggy is complete. Peggy's copious low moments during the season only ended when she was presented with the whip hand on her old mentor. But what's so regrettable about her ascendance at work is the fact that it only came as part of Team Lou slash Cutler's attempts to stick it to Don. Furthermore, her inability to be more gracious to Don than he often was to her when the roles were reversed is unfortunate because, more than anyone else on the show, Peggy is supposed to be better than that. She has served as a moral compass for much of the show's history. Now, with Don trying to work his way back from being down and out, she can't rise above her bitterness about his past treatment of her. Whatever he has done, and he has crapped on her a few times, he has mentored her and developed her talents, and he alone visited her when she was at her lowest ebb after the birth of her child. It's going to be a downer if Don ends the show on a streak of self-improvement while Peggy becomes a jerk like old Don so often was. Number two, Jim Cutler's marginalization of Don and takeover of the agency seems close to completion. With the agency's purchase of the computer and the green lighting of Peggy's big raise, Harry and Peggy join Lou and every partner not named Pete or Roger on Cutler's side. Sure, Stan and the rest of the copywriters are probably Team Don, but they have no stroke whatsoever. Only an external event, such as the kind that Bert referenced, can turn the tide. At some point, the agency has to find itself in need of Don's great brain, just as they have so many times times in the past. It would be very ironic and fitting if Don had the luxury of leaving them to their own devices at that time. Number one, multiple deliberate provocations drive Don to backslide on his new and improved act until Freddie Rumson saves the day. All viewers were left to wonder just how Don would handle the many indignities that were attached to his return to Sterling Cooper. Somehow the reality of the situation appeared even more awful than most would have anticipated. Drunk, insubordinate, and seemingly dealing with the Mets appreciating ghost of Lane Price in that forlorn office, Don was close to being booted away from the firm with nothing. But now, grimly determined not to let the partners reduce him to the ash heap of history alongside Lane, he trudges gamely on, having passed his first battery of tests in the end. The biggest remaining question for the first half of the season appears to be if he can keep it up, and in so doing, win back support in the company from key players who have respected him in the past, such as Peggy, Joan, and Ted. While he was trying to give Lane a pep talk while dismissing him, Don preached the same mantra that he gave to Peggy at her lowest point, reinvention. Now, the man who morphed from Dick Whitman to Don Draper must continue the process of re-embracing the humble Whitman family values to become a better man. His personal and professional success depends upon it. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.